Let's pray.
Thank you, Father, for another day you've given us, Father, of your blessings. And we just ask, Lord, that you continue to bless us, Lord, this week and, Lord, tomorrow. Lord, you bring many out tomorrow to hear your word. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done with us, Lord, up to this point. And we ask that you keep with us, Lord, and that we do greater things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. You know, I want to say that, I want to encourage all you, I guess we got more young people than we do adults, but all you guys to send your young people to Toluca this year. Hopefully we got a good crowd down there. I know that, lots of times we're kind of scared to send our kids somewhere, especially with Brother Brian somewhere. Well, Brother Brian's got a bunch of kids and they're still running around, so I'd be doing something right. But, you know, hopefully they can come down, and I'm not promising you that, they'll be more encouraged when they get back, but, it'd be a good experience for them anyways. Luke chapter 19 in verse 9. And of course, this is the story of Zacchaeus, and, he came and he saw Jesus, and Jesus went and, met with him in his house, and Jesus, he responded in verse 9. It says, And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, we're in a mission conference, and I think not only during a mission conference should we continue this exhortation to go out and seek people, to evangelize people, to go out and tell others about Christ. I think this is an all year round thing. We need to keep focused that this is what we're supposed to do. You know, lots of times you know, the Bible talks about that we're fishers of men, and you know, and it's been talked about a little bit, you know, this week. And you know, I think when the church isn't busy, I think when the church isn't busy working and busy evangelizing, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. You know, when our focus is more on what designer clothes we're going to be wearing on Sunday, or what kind of things the other cliques are doing, and lots of things we get caught up on. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, you know, it had to be the certain, you know, I was in this clique and we had to dress this way and we all dressed the same way. And that was my life, to be, you know, in the in crowd and to do what they did. And even when I came up here to San Antonio, you know, in school, and, you know, my group and my little thing, and I had to follow them, and I had to go to their parties. And if I wasn't invited to their parties, you know, I was, you know, boohoo time or whatever, you know. I mean, what a life. That's crazy, you know? And, but many times in a Christian church, we get our sights off the real reason why Christ came. It says here that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the reason why Christ came. He didn't come here to give you, a good life, you know? And I know it's been touched on, and, you know, Karen gets after me sometimes because she comes with me to studies, and, you know, I deal with, you know, sometimes, you know, with people, and sometimes I'm not that good of an encourager to people, you know, as they start telling me their problems. And, like this one man, I got this one man who I go and visit, and, you know, he suffers from a lot, but it's only, you know, his own fault. You know, he's a drunkard all his life and did lots of things. You know, he confessed to me, you know, all this stuff that, you know, he's done in his life. And, you know, he's suffering now, you know, diabetes and, you know, what have you, and just lots of stuff, bad circulation. It's his own fault. But, you know, he's talking about, you know, if only God could heal him of this, you know. And I told him, I said, well, you know what? God can do it. But you know, if God heals you from this, you're going to die of something else anyways. You know, and Karen says, good grief, you know, this guy is hurting, you know, and you show up there and he's trying to pour out his heart to you or whatever. And you come out with that response. I said, I know, lots of times, you know, I try to have my glass always half full. You know, that's, you know, I think it's much better that way. But, you know, I'm also a realist, you know, and I mean, you're going to die. You know, I mean, whether you die, you know, with your legs cut off because of your diabetes, or God heals you of that and you know, you're healed and you walk outside and a truck runs over you. I mean, what's the difference? You're going to die. The most important thing is to be saved.
Amen.
You know, and lots of times we think, you know, that our lives or our comfort or our ambitions should come before. You know, our main focus should be fishing for men. That is our main, I mean, above all other things. I mean, you know, if God gives us peace in our family, I think that's an extra. You know, if God gives us good, godly friends, I think that's extra. You know, if God puts us in a church where there is, you know, harmony and love and people watching over you and people teaching you and people caring for you, I think that's extra. But you know, the most important thing that I think God has saved us for and has called us to is to be fishers of men above all things. And you know, as I started, you know, thinking about this, you know, it's a real shame that a lot of churches, when they lose and a lot of people, even in this church, I think, you know, we had a pretty good crowd last night. And, I just can't help but think tonight the San Antonio Spurs are playing, you know, and wonder how many are there. I don't know. Maybe they have better excuses. I have no idea. But, you know, sometimes we get our eyes off what our main focus is. And I think that's where we get in trouble, you know? And I just want to take a few examples from the Word of God. And it's just some things that I think I would appreciate you praying for us. Just a few things in Matthew chapter 20. You know, I think if, you know, like I said, if the Lord has given you wealth, if the Lord has given you material things, great. You know, I'm really happy for you. You know, I mean I really am. I say that sincerely. You know, if God gives you a new car this year, praise the Lord. I hope you use it. I hope until the wheels fall off, you know? But, you know, I tell you the truth, if your life is to buy a car, it's pretty sad. You know, if your goals is to attain, a certain level in this world, it's pretty sad. You know, God not only saved me, but you know, He's given me lots of things. You know, He's given me a good wife. He's given me good co-workers. He's given me good pastors. He's given me good brethren in the church. He's given me lots of things, you know, and you know, I thank the Lord for it. But you know what? I've had co-workers and I consider the Mexicans, also my co-laborers. I've heard reports from a couple of Mexicans dropping out. You know, I love them. You know, they're not with the Lord. You know, a couple of them, they're not doing good, but I'm going to keep on. You know what I'm saying? I can't let that discourage me. I can't let that draw me away from my main goal, seek and to save that which is lost. Many times we get our eyes off of what we're here for. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse, we're going to start in 21. Here we see all the apostles are here, and James and John's mother comes and asks Jesus for a position in his kingdom. And it says here in 22, but Jesus answered and said, 21, and he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, and it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. You know what astonishes me about this passage is right before Jesus just tells them about his end. What's going to happen to him? He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be crucified. All this is going to happen to him. And the only comment they had is, hey, can I have the position on your right hand? You know, lots of times we're concerned more with position. We're concerned about, you know what, how do the brethren esteem me in the church? You know, right now we're going to be there in Toluca, and Michael and Bill are coming. And, tell you the truth, I really think, you know, these guys have a lot of gift. I think that they're good coworkers, and I'm glad they're working or allowing me to work with them, I guess I should say, you know, and I'm glad I'm around them. You know, I'm glad that the brothers, when they sent me out from this church, I went to Irapuato and I worked with Joey and Brent, and Bill, good men to, you know, work under and, you know, to learn from. But you know what? Lots of times when you get a group of guys together, a group of preachers together, a group of workers, whatever the case is, sometimes there's that feeling inside of us, you know, maybe that brother's getting a little bit too much more credit for this work, you know, why can't the brothers, esteem me more like they do him, you know? And I think we need to be, aware of this. And I think that's something that you need to pray for us. You know, we get together and our main focus is to go out seeking to save that which is lost. That is our main focus, you know? But again, I say even in this church, there's so many times we have those feelings and why does he get it? Or why does, get esteemed or whatever the case is. Well, you know, we need to knock that thought down right when it happens. Amen. You know, we need to not let that be a cause of division. You know, and lots of times that happens when we're not focused on what our main reason, to meet. You know, when we come here and on any given night to meet, it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for you. You know, it's never been about you. You know, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and when I come here and when I meet and when I listen, I should pray that the Lord, opens my heart, you know, gives me, wisdom, gives me an understanding, you know, breaks me a little bit to receive the word. And if it's something hard that I can receive it, you know, but lots of times our mind starts going and, you know, the devil starts, you know, telling us different things, you know, he's after you or he wants whatever it is. And this start causes division. But we need to remember our focus is preaching the gospel. Our focus is going to the lost. Our focus is to be together so we can seek those that are lost and bring them into the fold. Another thing, in Matthew 26, but ambition is lots of times is a problem. And I saw it was a problem there too. In Matthew 26, 69, when we're not busy doing what the Lord sent us to do, we get into trouble. And the first thing that I mentioned is the fighting, all the bickering, murmuring, whatever it is, you know, position, power, who's the jefe around here, whatever the case is, who cares? You know, who cares about that? You know, Jesus is the head. You know, we should just feel privileged that he's allowed us to be invited, you know, to be here, to participate in the preaching of the gospel. Another thing in 69, this is also astonishes me. It says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I don't know what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewareth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, when we're not focused on what our goal is, when we're not focused what we're supposed to be doing, we have a tendency to flee. We have a tendency to go and to scramble and to even be part of this world or whatever it is. When we get our eyes off our main focus. And again, I repeat, our main focus is to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, and I see, you know, through these examples that when the first sign of trouble, you know, happens, that Peter runs off and he starts cursing again and he starts, you know, acting like he was before. Well, you know, that's not the answer. You know, if God has called us out, if God has changed us, then we need to be true to him, you know, no matter what. You know, I really have a lot of admiration for the young people that have testimonies, you know? Because right now it's really tough. I mean, me, you know, I'm married, I'm old, I'm, you know, whatever, you know. It really doesn't cost me that much to say, you know what, I don't want to drink, you know? I don't care what you think, you know, I'm just a little bit wiser, I guess, you know, now with you know, as the older we get, and we don't really care. But you know, young people is really tough. You know, to get around a group of kids and somebody's drinking or somebody's puffing or somebody's doing something else or cursing or whatever, and they just feel the need to go that way instead of stand up and say, you know what? I belong to Christ. I want to do that and just walk away. You know, and I think we need to pray for our young kids. And that's another reason why I think you need to send your young kids out, you know, so they can get this, this experience, you know. They can catch a vision. They can, a lot of parents are scared. Oh man, if I send my kids out there, maybe they'll be missionaries. Well, you know, it really isn't that bad. You know, I hope nobody here feels sorry for us being missionaries. Man, I don't feel sorry for you staying here. You know, I really don't, you know. Yeah, and you know, I come up and you know, you guys have your own lives, and I know most of you people, you know, in this room, you know, work for Christ. Otherwise you wouldn't be here. You know, and I know that you're doing your stuff here, and I really don't feel sorry for you that you're not down there with me. And I hope none of you feel sorry for me that I'm down there. Because I'm doing, and I'm at the spot where I know God wants me to be. But you know, if we, you know, sooner or later, you know, you older folks are gonna die off. I mean, let's face it. You know, sooner or later, Brother Lindo ain't gonna be here no more. You know, Brother Steve and Brother Trini. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if we don't pass this thing on, amen, what's going to happen? You know, I know my God is big, you know, and I know he can keep me there as long. I mean, what really, I'm pleased with, you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know he can do it, and I know I'm going to be there as long as he wants me there. But you know, I sure would hate for this church to wrap it up. You know, I sure would hate for, you know, we come back in a few years and our mission conferences or our revivals are just a bunch of old people. Wouldn't that be sad? I mean, I'm excited. We got a big group of young people over here. You know, that's great. That's good. You know, but you know, I think it'd be a good idea for us to try to involve them in something, you know, and sending them down to Toluca would be a good idea, in my opinion. And you know, if you're scared of you know, them getting hurt, well, they probably might get hurt. They get hurt here too, you know. As far as, you know, dangerous, yeah, there's danger everywhere, you know. But I think it'd be a good investment for you to think about if your kids aren't already going down there to think about sending them down. But you know, when we get our eyes off of Christ and off of what we need to do, we start running and we start doing other things, and I think that's bad for the church. One more thing, John 21. You know, when things get tough, it really isn't time to run.
you know, and when we don't know exactly how this thing's going to turn out, or, you know, problem in the life, or, you know, I don't know who preached it the other day, but, talking about, you know, the times that we should be in church are the times when we're going through, hard times, you know, and when we're depressed, we need to be going even more, you know, but lots of times we seem to say, you know what, it's bad, and it's just going to get worse, and why go, and why, you know, you really need to, think about, you know, who your Savior is again, you know, because I know that everything that happens to me, whatever befalls me, whatever happens, whatever, bumps in the road come along my way, I know God is right there in the midst of it. You know, I know God's not going to let anything happen to me without Him being right there with me, you know, and, lots of times we just want to run. But let me just tell you this in John 21, another thing that surprised, that astonishes me is, in verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There was together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and the night they caught nothing. You know, I think the farther we forget about what our focus is, in this life, once we're saved, is to reach the lost and to evangelize, to disciple, you know, to love the brethren. I think this is all part of fishing. I think this is all part of what we're called to do, you know, not only to catch the sinners, but also to build them up, to root them in the word. I think this is all part of the church, and our focus is not a social club. It's not, you know, to be happy, you know, whatever, you know, our main focus is to be all we can be in Christ. You know, right here, it surprises me that after the disciples went through all they did and they saw great miracles and they saw tremendous things, that they come into the point where Jesus dies and they're like, okay, well, let's go back. Let's go fishing. Go back to their old way of life just because there's a bump in the road. Just because, I tell you what, they got their eyes off of all the prophecies that Jesus said. He said he was going to come back. You know, if they would have just been listening a little bit over there, you know, where we read, you know, and in Matthew, you know, where he talks about, you know what, all this is going to happen to me, but I'm going to rise again, you know, but they took their eyes off of their focus, and then they forgot everything that they've been taught. And I think that is a real danger, you know, when we get our eyes off of why we're here and we tend to forget. But you know what? I don't want to do that. I know that Peter repented, you know, of forgetting. And we see over there in Acts chapter 2 that when he preached that sermon, man, 3,000 souls, man, what a revival, you know, what a great work that he was a part of. You know, and I know lots of times we feel like running, lots of times we do run, lots of times we forget, lots of times that we do all these things that we know we're not supposed to do. But you know what? The problem is, and I think our main problem is that we get our eyes off focus of why we're here, is to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen.